The Mystic River that empties into Boston Harbor is a polluted nightmare that rarely earns more than a D on the federal government's annual water quality report card. And now a regional advocacy group, the Conservation Law Foundation, is going after one of the wealthiest alleged polluters of the Mystic River, the ExxonMobil Corporation. In addition to claiming Exxon leaks toxic chemicals from a storage facility in Everett along the Mystic, CLF says the oil giant has failed to prepare for sea level rise and storm surges related to climate change. Bradley Campbell is president of the Conservation Law Foundation, and I visited him in his downtown Boston office. Welcome to Living on Earth, Brad.
Thank you.
Now, you filed a notice of intent. Take me to law school here. Why didn't you just sue Exxon?
The federal environmental laws provide for citizen suits, for citizens to enforce the law, but they also insist that we provide advance notice to the companies before we sue them, and also to the Justice Department and the EPA. And sometimes the federal agencies use that notice to come in and take over the case, often to protect the companies from aggressive enforcement. We don't think that'll happen in this case. We think the Obama administration will not essentially want to protect ExxonMobil. But we still have to go through the process of providing notice of the suit, but we will promptly file at the end of the 60-day Clean Water Act notice period.
A number of states' attorneys general are investigating ExxonMobil for its alleged role in sowing climate denial and allegedly misleading investors and the public about the risks of climate change. Why is the failure to prepare for climate change at this site that you're accusing Exxon of different?
Well, the attorneys general are looking really at the tools that prosecutors have in terms of the securities laws, in terms of the racketeering laws. We're looking more narrowly at the requirements of environmental laws, particularly the Clean Water Act. In essence, facilities like this have to certify to the EPA on a regular basis in sworn statements that they've done everything they can in their professional engineering judgment to avoid an unintended release of oil or hazardous substances. This facility is in constant violation of its permits, so obviously they're not meeting the test even in day-to-day conditions. And we're not talking about trivial violations. We're talking about significant tenfold exceedances of their permit, in many cases of very potent carcinogens, right in the heart of densely populated communities. In the case of a Category 1 storm, it would essentially be inundated. Tanks would likely collapse. And there'd be oil and hazardous waste, not just throughout these communities, but also throughout the Boston Harbor complex. And so we see this as a bread and butter case under the Clean Water Act, where they're saying this facility's ready for the impacts we know are ahead, when in fact it isn't.
Talk to me about some of the toxins that are coming out of this facility.
Obviously, you'll have many different forms of petrochemicals, oil, gasoline, and the like. It's a toxic soup of various carcinogens like benzene and others that have obviously significant human health impacts, but also, you know, need to be controlled. And what we learned in our investigation is that ExxonMobil, this facility, has a treatment system that is overwhelmed whenever you have a significant rainfall. So we have videotape of their discharge point with oily sheen coming out of it on a regular basis.
So to what extent does your lawsuit hinge on the finding that Exxon knew about the risks of climate change and therefore there will be rising seas that could affect these tanks?
Well, thanks to a number of investigations, we know that Exxon has known and its scientists confirmed as early as the Nixon administration that climate impacts were real, that they were potentially catastrophic, and that they were linked to carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions. But even as ExxonMobil designed their market strategy, designed their high-end infrastructure like oil platforms to withstand climate change impacts like rising seas, more intense storm events, they left facilities that were in the heart of communities very vulnerable.
Brad, you're saying that Exxon hasn't adequately prepared for the effects of climate disruption at this particular site. To what extent might there be many other industrial facilities that are similarly ill-prepared? And which of those operators, by the way, knew about climate change way back when?
There are a number of facilities that we're investigating in this region and beyond that present the same threat to communities. They're low-lying, they're on the coast, and they're vulnerable. And in many cases, they're densely populated communities surrounding them. And as you might expect, those communities tend to be lower-income communities and communities of color. that have always gotten short shrift from the regulators and enforcers. We think that there are many other companies that are situated similarly to Exxon, but Exxon's climate deceit has been the most egregious. They're not just deceiving the public in terms of a political debate to avoid regulation. They're also deceiving both the public and the regulators, to whom they're regularly submitting false statements about the risks that are immediate to families and businesses that have hosted these facilities for generations.
Why, in your view, have the regulatory agencies not called Exxon to account if, in fact, as you're saying right now, they're violating the Clean Water Act?
There are a couple of factors, I think, at play. One is that as compared to water bodies that are in more affluent communities like the Charles River, the Mystic River has been underserved by the regulators and enforcers. The second factor that I think is important for this case is EPA really has not itself caught up with the implications of climate change in terms of how it administers the Clean Water Act. And so when they look at, you know, a certification as to whether a facility is ready, they, like many in the regulated community, still look back to, well, what were the historic conditions that this facility has to be ready for? And our view is both the law and common sense dictate that a facility should be ready for the conditions that lie ahead and not just the conditions that lay behind us, because we know from climate science that the conditions ahead are going to be very different and they're going to be much harsher.
Brad Campbell is president of the Conservation Law Foundation. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you for your interest in this issue.
We contacted ExxonMobil for comment. Its statement is posted in full on our website, loe.org. And it reads in part, operations at the Everett Terminal comply with federal and state government environmental standards, including monitoring and treatment of groundwater.